KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Greer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Hi, everybody. Happy Juneteenth. We went to Sonoma State University's Juneteenth event yesterday, and it was so beautiful and heartfelt. And this is where we met our guests. Tonight, our guests are Theo Hayes and Asad Kadora Franklin, known as AJ, both students at Sonoma State.
Theo is a second-year student studying music education. Yay, music education, so did I. He's studying music education and wants to be a music teacher. And this summer, he's working with kids at the YMCA. And since meeting AJ, Theo has become inspired to take leadership in his community and be the change he wants to see. Hey there, Theo.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great being here.
So great to have you.
AJ is also a second-year student studying philosophy with a concentration in pre-law and ethics. He plays an active role in the university community as the Vice President of External Affairs for the Associated Students and has won a very prestigious award. And he is an official 24 face of Sonoma State University and a Sea Wolf Living Brand Ambassador. Hello, AJ.
Hello. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be here with you guys and soak up some wisdom and tell our stories.
We are excited to have you both. Wow, we were looking forward to it because I remember sitting at the table with you two, not knowing anything about you, but I just love watching you across the table. And Theo, the way you reach your hand out, AJ hold his hand. It was just so cute. And so I say, sure, I got to go ask these guys to be on the radio show. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
We look very forward to hearing your stories and brightening up our day. We really do. And our evening.
First, we're going to have news and events with our Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I love to change the world.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of July 7th, 2024. Attacks on rainbow flags, crosswalks, and other LGBTQ+ symbols occurred in over 40 cities nationwide during Pride Month. According to NBC News, overall, the attacks occurred in 21 states. A majority occurred in blue states like California, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Washington, but some also occurred in red states like Idaho, Montana, Texas, and West Virginia. While most of the theft and vandalism of these symbols seem to have been carried out by lone wolf individuals rather than coordinated by extremist groups, many local police, news reports, officials, and victims state that this year's number of attacks increased from previous years. Associate Attorney General Benjamin Meiser said, quote, "We've seen an increase in hate-motivated violence against the LGBTQ+ community. There are many communities that are afraid to report to state or local law enforcement officials, and sometimes those fears are rooted in a history of troubling relationships between those communities and their local law enforcement," end quote. One example of these crimes includes in Boise, Idaho, the annual display of 60 rainbow flags being vandalized four times during the month of June. Michael Dale, who's president of the board of directors of Boise Pride, said, quote, "It happens all the time now. We have to go back and put them back up. But if there's anything to say about Boise is that we're resilient. No matter what the cost is, we're not going to back down," end quote. And this year's Toronto, Canada Pride celebration came to an abrupt end this last Sunday when a group of pro-Palestinian activists interrupted the festivities. A group of about 30 people who called themselves the Coalition Against Pinkwashing stopped the parade about 3.5 hours after the start time. Protesters were chanting "Free Palestine" and "Pride is a protest." As floats and parade participants got stuck behind the protesters for about 45 minutes, Toronto Pride officials announced the cancellation of the remainder of the parade. New York City's 45th annual Pride Parade was also briefly interrupted by protesters. About a dozen protesters climbed over barricades and tossed fake food, and some stood in front of floats and marchers for roughly 45 minutes before the New York Police Department intervened. And in Chicago, police declared a, quote, mass arrest situation, end quote, on the Sunday following that city's annual Pride Parade. Arrests began at about 1:23 a.m. in the Lakeview neighborhood of Chicago, with police ordering a mass arrest, but no further information was given. CWP Chicago reported widespread fights and disruption throughout Boys Town. That's one of the largest LGBTQ plus communities in the Midwest. The chaos continued well into Monday morning, with videos of people clashing with police being posted on social media. Some of the videos show police throwing members of the crowd to the ground, shoving people, and people running away from the scene. Police also said of the known arrests that at least two people were taken into custody for possession of firearms. And here in California last week, Attorney General Bob Bonta's office released the annual report on hate crimes for those reported in the year calendar year 2023. Despite an overall decrease in reported hate crimes in California last year, those committed against LGBTQ plus community members continued to rise. Overall, reported hate crime events in California decreased by 7.1% from 2,120 reported in 2022 down to 1,970 reported in calendar year 2023. Attorney General Bonta said, quote, "While it is heartening to see an overall decrease in hate crimes last year, some of our communities, including LGBTQ+, Jewish, and Muslim communities, continue to be targeted and endangered by hate at an alarming rate." And he added, quote, "An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. There is no place for hate in California," end quote. According to the report, between 2022 and 2023, hate crime events motivated by sexual orientation increased by 4.1%. from 391 to 405. Anti-transgender bias events increased 10.2%, from 59 reported in 2022 to 65 being reported in 2023. According to the report, anti-Jewish bias also increased from 189 reported in 2022 to 289 reported in 2023. And anti-Islamic or Muslim events rose from 25 reported in 2022 to 40 reported in 2023. According to California law, hate crime is a criminal act committed in whole or in part because of the victim's actual or perceived disability, gender, nationality, race, ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation, or being associated with someone with one of those characteristics. For Outbeat Radio News,
I'm Greg Moralia.
For Outbeat Radio News,
I'm Greg Moralia.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, we are talking with AJ and Theo, boyfriends who met at SSU about a year ago. And we want to thank you guys both so much for taking your time out of your very busy schedules to meet with us. Let's go ahead and start with you, Theo. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, like the instrument you play and how you got into wanting to study music? Why don't you start there?
Sure. I started playing the flute in fifth grade. I just chose an instrument and pretty much immediately fell in love with it. I continued with music through middle school, and high school is when I really, really started getting into it. I absolutely loved the band community. It's a super, super welcoming, accepting community of just band nerds, everyone who likes the same thing. I've had some absolutely incredible music teachers who just make the whole experience super, super fun, super exciting, just everything I love about life. And I had some pretty bad teachers too. So I really saw the dichotomy between like what a music education really could be. And it really inspired me to get into music teaching. So in college, I decided to get a music education degree, and I just finished up my first year here. I was in the Sonoma State Orchestra and Wind Ensemble playing the flute, and it was absolutely incredible. And meeting AJ and talking to him along the way and sharing our thoughts about life, music education, and education in general, it really inspired me to take a way more like active leadership role in music education, because there's a lot of things that I think could be better about it. So I'm super excited to continue that journey.
That is very, very fascinating. I'm curious what you mean by there's things that could be better about music education.
A lot of music education, especially with younger kids, like elementary school, middle school, is play, here's a recorder, play exactly what's on the page, or you're wrong and you failed and you need to practice more. Where I think music is so much more than that. And the teachers that I've had who made it more than that made me fall in love with music. I think focusing more on individual music expression and improvisation, especially from a younger age, can really get kids into music a lot earlier and make the experience a lot more fun, because a lot of kids will be interested in taking music classes and then realize, oh, I just have to learn an instrument and play exactly what's on the page, or people will yell at me. And music education doesn't have to be that. We could have really fun personal music classes where people get to experiment.
I love what you're saying, because it reminds me of you, Cher. Remember when we first met and you're doing your music and you start learning the Native American flute? And I say, Cher, just play from your soul. Just let your individuality show up. And she had a hard time, Theo, exactly what you're talking about. She was so like, I got to do this classical. I got to follow the notes on the page instead of being creative and letting her soul speak. And that just touched my heart when I hear you talking. That is so beautiful.
It is so beautiful. Wow. If I'd had that kind of education growing up, I wouldn't have been so shy to try improvising, you know?
Yeah.
It took me a long, long time to feel good about playing off the page.
You know? I'm in that exact same situation right now where improvisation is so, so scary to me, because it's the exact opposite of my like 8+ years of what I've been learning this entire time. But I'm so, so passionate and interested in it. And I think getting kids interested in it and involved in it earlier would be so, so helpful.
That's fantastic. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah. And AJ, so tell us about your philosophy with the concentration and pre-law and ethics. How did you get there? And you're doing so much at Sonoma State. So please share.
Yeah. So before I came to college, I was in a little bit of a panic, because I knew that I wanted to be an advocate somehow. Both of my parents were activists, so they kind of taught me from an early age the power of representation and education. And so I knew I wanted to go into higher education. I just didn't know what subject or area I wanted to give my attention to. And that's when, in my digging and searching, I came across the degree of philosophy. Philosophy, I feel like, is a very misunderstood subject. Philosophy is kind of hard to understand as a concept, as the pursuit of like wisdom. And like, isn't that all school? And then it's like, no, well, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. I especially was excited to come to CSU because of their philosophy college's concentration program, where you can decide to get an extra concentration in a variety of different practical philosophical fields. So for me, I hope to go on to law school after my undergrad. So Sonoma State was the only college that I found that had a philosophy degree with a concentration in pre-law and ethics. So I get to apply the concepts that I'm learning in class to the legal system and how to ensure that our legal system is ethical.
Wow, beautiful. So tell us about your prestigious award.
So I recently was awarded the CSU Black Excellence Scholarship. Basically, how it worked was, this was for the Juneteenth Symposium that the CSU holds biannually. This was the second annual Juneteenth Symposium. And the purpose of the symposium is to highlight what schools in the CSU system can be doing to achieve Black student excellence, to ensure Black student success. The CSU system, I've been using the abbreviation, is the Cal State University System. So that's all 23 Cal States in California. It's actually the biggest college system in the nation, and it serves the highest population of students of color out of any other system in the nation. So Because the CSU system serves up such a high number of students, and so many of those students are students of color, they have taken particular interest in being the system outside of the HBCUs, basically the system on the West, that is paying specific attention to students of color. So the chancellor's office this year, because it's the second time that they've put on this event, they decided to select six exceptional students from the various CSUs to win a $5,000 scholarship to assist them in their academic pursuits and leadership pursuits. So the way the application process worked was every school was tasked with selecting one student, and that student would be allowed to apply. In order to apply, I needed a letter of recommendation from the president of my school and his office. And then it was a lot like a normal scholarship application where I talked about myself, talked about my leadership and my involvement. And I didn't actually have very high hopes of winning. I was honored to be nominated just because I only have 1 year on the campus. And I was like, well, like, I'm going to be going against like the upperclassmen and, you know, of the other schools, and there's 23 applicants and 6 winners. Like, what are the chances? But to my surprise, I was selected as one of the 6. I was the youngest of the 6. I'm 17 because I graduated high school a year early. So I was the youngest applicant and I won. And it was such an honor to represent Sonoma State and be recognized on like a stage and show how my community here at SSU has allowed me to achieve great things and how I can give back, and I hope to give back to that community.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
1 of 6. Wow. Did they tell you why? Like, why you?
Not really. They kind of just made their selections. I think my guess in what my president's cabinet explained to me was I look like a good investment almost to the CSUs just because I've done a lot already. And by investing in me, they know that trend is more likely to continue. So I'm honored to be entrusted with my little pocket of campus. And I'm honored that the students have selected me to represent them as a member of the student voice. And I'm just very excited about my time here at SSU.
For a short time, you're really getting involved. I mean, that's beautiful, AJ. We were reading your bios and you both are just about change, about being involved and about leadership. And Theo, you mentioned in your bio, the influence from AJ helped you take on that role of being more active and being a leader. So can you speak to that?
Oh, absolutely. Coming to college, I was not in that mindset at all. I was like, I like music. I'll get a music education degree and be a music teacher. That sounds great and fun. And I was just planning to kind of cruise through, just doing what I wanted to. And then I met AJ, who came to college with a completely different mindset. He's told me he wanted to conquer SSU.
Wow, that's a big deal. big goal.
Yeah, he wants to like get involved in everything, make a change, make a positive difference. And seeing that drive impressed me so much and inspired me so much to do the same in what I was doing with music education. And just talking to him, hearing his thoughts about what he was doing, hearing his thoughts about even my field of music education, made me really, really reflect on the kind of person that I wanted to be and what I wanted to do with my life. And I never thought of myself as a person who could create changes or anything like that, really. So having him believe in me and like really push me to do things like that made me realize that I can do a lot and my voice matters and I can make change in the world. So now I'm in a similar mindset to him, and I feel like a much, much better person. I have so much hope, and yeah, I have so much hope for the rest of my life.
Well, I'm just sitting here listening to you, Theo, explain that you met AJ and now your mindset is somebody who wants to create change, and you didn't think about that before. You quote unquote just wanted to be a music teacher. And then I remember what you said at the beginning of our show, which was you think there's more than just a traditional music education curriculum, that you would love to teach kids to be outside the box, which is radical. So in your own way, maybe even before meeting AJ, you were already thinking, how can I make this fun for kids? Because there's got to be more than the notes.
Yes.
And the notes are rules.
Yes.
How can we do something outside the rules and have a good time for exploring and have the kids' self-esteem come up when they don't get the rules right, you know? And so you are already there. The seed was already planted.
I agree.
AJ, you just watered it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just watered it.
Yeah, you watered it, AJ.
Exactly.
And it grew. Yeah, it's growing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. I love that connection that you both have. And it shows, AJ, what you have, the leadership that you have, and that you're going to impact so many more students. And you both will. This is beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Because I saw those problems in my field before meeting AJ, but AJ made me believe that I could actually do something about them. I thought of those problems as immovable and unconquerable. And AJ was like, just try it, just do it. And he inspired me so much. And I really believe that he can do that to a lot of other people.
Yeah, just think of AJ impacted other people like he has for you in their own field of study.
Yes.
And encourages people to go outside the box and be radical in their teaching or however they're affecting the world. I mean, both of you are going to make this world a better place.
Thank you.
No doubt about it.
Wow, Sonoma State's lucky to have you two. I tell you that right now. I mean, being so young, you know, it's like, wow, you don't hear that much from young people like yourselves. And I'm so happy and feel so blessed to have this interview with you two.
Yeah.
And so Sonoma State, so anything else you want to share about Sonoma State? Because I know, AJ, you're an ambassador. And we heard that Theo got a scholarship for volleyball. So
there's
other stuff. So share.
Yeah.
Theo, you want to go ahead?
Oh, yeah, I can go first. I am also a volleyball player at Sonoma State. I went there on a scholarship for volleyball. And playing volleyball is great. I mean, I love it. I also have a music scholarship for playing the flute.
Wow. Okay, two scholarships.
I really admired that about Theo, because when I first met Theo, I was about the cause and I knew that I wanted to make a difference, but I didn't consider myself very much in and like self-care and like doing things that were just important to me just because they were. Like, I felt like my actions needed greater social justification because I needed to somehow take advantage of the opportunities that I'd been given. And Theo was the complete opposite. He was like, I like two things, playing the flute and playing volleyball. And I'm going to do those things through college. And then I'm going to do those things after college. And we really balanced each other out, and we really rubbed off on each other in like the most glorious way that I could ever imagine. It's like astonishing how much we have to teach each other, and the conversations never stop. So I'm very excited.
I love it. So the listeners are not able to see the affection between the two of you and praising each other and the little kisses on the cheeks
and smiling
and the smiles. I wish the listeners can feel and see what we're seeing. And so it makes me just want to get into, like, how did you guys meet?
Do you want me to tell the story?
Yes.
We met a week before move-in day through this program that Sonoma State has called Jumpstart. Jumpstart is an opportunity for incoming freshmen to get a feel of the campus layout, the cafeteria, the various on-campus orgs. It's like an extended orientation. And as a part of that, we got to move into our dorms early. And moving in early not only allowed us to like get used to the campus, but it made us all terrified. Because for me, I was the only person, I was in my dorm. At Sonoma State, the dorms are big. We have apartments. We're the number one CSU for on-campus housing. So we have apartments. Like there's five people that live in my dorm. I have a kitchen and a bathroom and a hallway, but everything was empty. And everything on my floor was, no one else was on my floor. So when we all met in Jumpstart, we're like, hi, nice to meet you. And we're like super like extroverted and like engaged with each other because we're all like timid little freshmen like coming into this big campus that's deserted and empty. And we like every day after we were done learning through Jumpstart, we would go out and stargaze at the Green Music Center, like pull out picnic blankets, lamps and Uno, and just like, what's your story? And it was through that process that me and Theo met and became friends. We had a crush on each other for quite some time, but I was trying to give all the hints to Theo and he was not catching them. Like he was not catching them. I took this man on a picnic at the lakes. He proceeded to draw me and then give me a pat on the back and say, well, it was nice hanging out, bro. And I'm like, okay. Like, I was just a little disheartened. And he almost missed the window of opportunity for me to like stay like interested. I would have like just been like, okay, like wasn't he's really cute, but like I guess he's not interested. But literally that same day that the lake situation happened, we were in the hot tub. And we started flirting and we were pretty much immediately addicted to each other. Like, I think like from 3 days after we started flirting, like I stopped sleeping at my dorm. Like it was pretty, it was completely accidental. Like I am a person who typically does not like vulnerability. I've always been like emotionally cautious. And then like I would wake up from a nap with this guy I met like 8 days ago. And I was like, what is going on? And I like, but it was strong. It was strong. Theo was very convincing.
Theo, why did you miss all the hints?
Oh my goodness. I talked about this with AJ before because I told him I didn't think anyone had ever flirted with me in my life, but I don't think I ever realized people were flirting with me. I thought he was way out of my league and there's no way he could possibly be flirting with me. So, yeah, I just ignored the signs. But I had a crush on him for sure.
How did you know, AJ, that Theo was gay? I mean, that's how you identify yourself.
I take pride in my gaydar. And I knew the first day that I interacted with Theo, before we even exchanged words, I was like, that one. I was like, that one is the first gay man that I have seen on this campus. And I gotta be his friend, like, obviously. And he asked me too. He was like, how did you know? Like, because I went up to him and I was like, you're gay, duh. And he's like, how did you know? I'm like, at that time, I didn't really know. Like, it was just like a hunch, but like, I was like, it's your cheekbones. And that freaked him out a little bit. He was like, what about my cheekbones are gay? And I was like, it's what you just gotta know. You just gotta know. You can't see it on yourself.
It was not the response I was expecting. That my cheekbones were the giveaway.
Oh, that is too funny. We want to talk more about this and about you and as a couple and individuals and your coming out stories and things, but we do have to break for music. And you brought a song tonight that we'd like to play. Could you, one of you, introduce the song and tell us why you brought it? Why do you want to share it with us?
So the song is Gay Excellence by Todrick Hall. And when I met Theo, he was still working through being okay with being so openly gay. I called him a baby gay when we met. And I was like, oh, it's okay. You're just a baby gay. Like, you'll figure it out. Like, you're just in your early stages of gay wisdom. And we've all been there. And I introduced him to a Spotify playlist that I have, and it's actually called Gay Excellence. And that song is the first song in the playlist. And it's a bunch of songs that I put together that helped me in moments where I was feeling insecure about expressing my identity so boldly as like a multicultural queer person of color. I was already aware of the disparities that came with being a person of color. And it was hard for me to accept that I would be stacking on another layer of like marginalization intentionally. But it was through music like this that taught me representation is the way to acceptance and normalization. People like Todrick Hall, who are icons, who have embraced their identity and become successful for it, paves the way for people like me to say, okay, my identity is important. And what's so special about music artists specifically is they're able to share their lessons with us through their art. And Gay Excellence is a song that for me told me that I could be Black, gay, and successful. And I could be more successful because of my unique identities, because that gave me creativity, that gave me something special.
All right, that is beautiful. We look beautiful. Very forward to hearing Gay Excellence by Todrick Hall, and we'll see everybody else on the other side.
There is a noise heard around the world. Baby, it's a fabulous one.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They are the boys that don't need a girl to let their legacy live on.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we move like the waves on a body of water. Cute in the face, but the bodies are hotter. Move out the way if you hate us or bother. Cause we know who we are.
Gay Excellence by Todrick Hall, and we are talking with AJ and Theo, enjoying getting to know them. They're just so brilliant and bright young students from Sonoma State. We were wanting to get to know you a little more intimately, and so we were wondering, we'd like to know your coming out stories. Who would like to start?
I can go first this time.
Okay. All right, AJ.
To me, every coming out story starts with the gay revelation of like, oh no, I caught it. I grew up in a church atmosphere. My grandfather was a pastor and my father was a preacher at my grandfather's church. I grew up singing in church. That's one of the reasons I relate to Todrick Hall so much. He has a few songs about being queer and those feelings in the Black church community. I felt really, and I still feel really connected to that part of myself. I think that church can be a very good place to cultivate community when it's done correctly. I was pretty young when I started to have like the first thoughts. I am pan. And I was like, why is everybody hot? Like, what's going on? Like, that person has a beard and a dress on, and why do I can't tell if I want to be like them or marry someone like them. What's going on? And it was quite hard for me at first. I fell victim to the try to pray the gay away kind of pattern that tends to happen.
Can you say more about that? What do you mean?
So I feel like it's a pretty common Christian child, a queer child experience to realize that you're not quite what's supposed to be correct or what's supposed to be right or righteous. And that thought made me feel super uncomfortable. I felt like I was almost there. Like, I knew that I wanted to be a good person and I was excited by my parents' activism and I wanted to create a positive change in the world. And I loved going and singing in church. And I felt flawed. I felt like my sexual identity was, or like the way that I presented myself. I like the way I'm talking now, y'all, is the way I've always talked my whole life. And I got flack for it from my older brothers. And I knew like very well that being different was not good. And I wanted nothing more than to shed that skin and just fit into the row that I so desperately wanted to conform to. And in pursuit of that, I turned to the one resource that I was kind of given as a Christian child. When you don't have control, you go to God. Like, if you can't do it, God can. If God can't do it, it can't be done. And that terrified me because I would pray and then wake up and still be queer and still be different. And I wasted birthday wishes on trying to be like straight and trying to be the same as everyone else and trying to be less different. And then after some time, I got old enough to understand what research was. And I started to research how to break bad habits because the thoughts that I was having were just bad thoughts that I just shouldn't be having. And I came across like something to do with grief. And it was like, the first step is acceptance. And after that, after I like muttered to myself as a little child, I'm gay. It was like, it was over. Like, I just knew it was true. And it felt good to say. And I said it again. And I said it again. And I said it again. And I whispered it to myself. And it made me feel more like me. And that felt good. But that also felt scary. So for a long time, I presented myself as straight, but just a little different, you know, like I'm just your average straight man with a little bit of flavor. And that didn't last very long. Towards the end of middle school and towards the beginning of high school, when I started to see more queer representation online and on my campuses, like, oh, like there's a gay person and they're not being burned at the stake. So maybe it's okay for me to start stepping into this identity. And I think it was the time from like 8th to 9th grade where I was starting to more embrace the differences that I had. And by the time I got into high school and I realized that people know I'm different just as much as I know that I'm different. And me pretending to be more like them is only allowing them to hurt me more. And so at what point does my queer identity start to show parallels with my Black identity? And once I found those parallels, I immediately felt the weight being lifted as I realized I'm not wrong. Society is just oftentimes misguided. And that's okay because we're all misguided. And every queer person who's openly queer had to fight that pressure as well. And then I felt a part of something good. I felt a part of something hopeful. And I felt a part of something bigger than me that would be my support. And after that, it was history. Monochromatic outfits every single day.
Beautiful. I love the way you took her step by step through that journey. And I love the metaphor, the parallel of your blackness and your sexuality and how you became the acceptance, you know, that word acceptance. And I love how you talked about, I'm gay. I'm gay, and how that felt so natural and so right for you. Yeah, I just love your step by step, AJ. That's beautiful. And I hope the listeners, people who are maybe struggling, even adults struggling to come out, to listen to how you step by step did that and came to accept yourself, all of who you are. Beautiful. So, Theo, we would like to know your journey as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm also pansexual, but I definitely did not realize that until coming to college. I pretty much identified as bisexual for a really long time because I didn't really even know what pansexual was until meeting AJ. And then he described it for me and was like, oh, I am that.
Well, can you describe it for the listener?
Yes. Pansexuality means that you're attracted to anyone not on the basis of gender or sex. So bisexuality can mean you're attracted to men and women, or women and non-binary people, like just two. And pansexuality is everyone.
But it is important to note that a lot of people consider pansexuality under something called the bi umbrella, because a lot of people who identify as bisexual see it, define bisexual as like two or more. A lot of bisexual people might say that they're attracted to men, or people that identify as male and men and women and non-binary, for completely different reasons. Like, I like this about women and this about men. And to my understanding, pansexual is more like people are hot and I can't describe why. And it's not about the bits, it's about the bobble. So yeah, that's our little perspective.
So my coming out story is probably going to be a little different than expected, because I'm actually a trans man. So my coming out was that I like men and women in around sixth grade. And that was something that I had definitely always known about myself since elementary school. I really didn't care whether they were a man or a woman. I would have a crush on them. I had a crush on like my best friend for like 5 years in elementary school. But in middle school is when I came out and started telling people. And it wasn't as difficult for me as coming out as trans, for sure. Some people thought it was weird or didn't believe me. And there was something that my family didn't really talk about. They're just like, okay, cool. And then we never really talked about it. And my journey to being trans was definitely something that I wanted to talk about here, because that was far, far more difficult for me. I came out in ninth grade, first as non-binary, then as a trans man. And that was full of self-doubt and self-hatred. From the second I came out, and pretty much all of high school, I was questioning, is this really me? Is this really right? Am I right about this? Am I tricking myself? Because I was surrounded by transphobia from the places I was on the internet and the people that I chose to hang out with. And I never considered that I could be trans and happy. I thought that I had condemned myself to a life of self-hatred and hatred from society, and that there's no way that I could be happy. Which made me really, really want to go back to being cis. Like, I'm like, is this really, really, really what I'm about to do? Like, maybe I am cis. Like, maybe I should go back to that. But I didn't. And I'm very, very glad I didn't. And it took a lot of years. And even coming to college, I was still had a lot of internalized transphobia and doubt still, even after 4 or 5 years of coming out. And it wasn't until meeting AJ that I started to dispel some of that at a much quicker rate. AJ and I had been flirting for a week or two, with him not knowing that I was trans at all. And I felt horrible about it because I thought that I was tricking him. And once he found out I was trans, he was going to hate me and turn against me and tell everyone and ruin my life. Because I was just so nervous about it and I hated myself so much for it. So I invited him to breakfast at like 7 a.m. in the morning for an important conversation that he was very stressed out about. Hey, we need to talk. Can we get breakfast in the morning? And I told him I was trans and I was ready for him to be uninterested in me after that. And I was like, it's okay if you never want to talk to me again. It's totally okay. And I looked up at AJ because I was looking down the entire time and he just looked confused. He told me later he was waiting for the important part. AJ did not care at all. And that baffled me. He never asked me any questions about it, which I was very used to in my relationships. I was very used to being trans as a huge problem that we had to conquer as a couple in my past relationships. And I made a lot of personal sacrifices to meet the demands of my partner because I was trans. I was like, well, I'm trans and they're with me, so I'll do this and this and this and this for them because I didn't think I deserved love. But AJ has shown me that that thinking was very wrong and that I could still be happy and have a loving partner, even though I was trans, and that being trans wasn't a problem at all.
Wow. Here you two go again.
Yeah.
Bringing tears to our hearts, so, you know? I mean, just the love and just the acceptance. That's the way it's supposed to be in the world. If we all can have that attitude. AJ, you're just a blessing, really. You're truly a blessing.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you for trusting us with your story, Theo.
Yeah, it was actually something I was considering if I should even say or not. Right after meeting you guys, I actually had therapy right after the Juneteenth event. So that kind of worked out perfectly. And pretty much the whole conversation with my therapist is like, this is going to be seen by our friends and family. Do I really want to say come out to a lot of people that really don't know that I'm trans? And it took a lot of deliberating and thinking about it. And I talked to AJ about it too. And I realized that if people reacted badly to it, or the people who didn't know thought of me less of because I was trans from hearing this broadcast, that I don't care about them. It doesn't matter. That I shouldn't put such high pressure and expectations. And I shouldn't care so much about people's perception of me if they're going to think of me less, then it's not even worth it. So I'm not really used to that mindset at all, even though it makes so much logical sense. So I'm definitely thinking of this as a huge step in my trans journey and my identity journey and being more comfortable with myself.
Oh, there goes the kiss. That's so great. You're so supportive. I'm so happy for you, Theo. I can't even count the ways that you're at this stage in your life and your development and you're owning who you are. That's what we want.
I am left with some questions about you, AJ, and I'm curious because of the church and what I've heard about. Your dad was a preacher your grandfather's church.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering how your family, once you said that you were gay to yourself and started expressing that in high school and becoming more of who you were in your authentic self, how did your family, your brothers, how did they react? How did you come out to them?
My queerness was always, I feel like it was always known, but unspoken. And as long as everybody else was willing to participate or pretend, I was going to let them. I don't want to talk about this. We can ignore it collectively. And so there was never really a moment where I stepped out in front of my siblings and was like, I'm queer. But there was a transition between who I was and who I've become. And that acceptance was visible, it was noticeable, and I'd like to think that it was potent. Once I applied the same spirit that I felt towards Black liberation and reconstruction, and once I kind of noticed the parallels, I was like, oh, I have to be the one. If there's going to be one Black student in class who didn't allow society to scare them out of raising their hand, it's going to be me. I'm going to be the one that's going to raise my hand. So if there's going to be one queer person who is going to show up with dyed red denim jeans with a matching red jean jacket, it's going to be me. And I hope that I pave the way for the next me. I'm not the first, but bravery is contagious. And my family's reaction to that was sort of silent, outside of my mom. I came out in a statement to like both of my parents, and my mom's response when I came out, I remember it very vividly. She was giving me a ride to work, and I was like shaking and scared. And I was like, I got over it. And I was like, Mom, I think I'm pan. And she asked me to define it. And she's like, oh, I think everybody's pan. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, I've always guessed that you might be queer. And remember that one time I dated a chick when you were really young? Because my mom raised me as a single mom. And I remember there was a brief moment my mom had a girlfriend. And she was like, that was me showing you that it's okay to be open with your sexuality and experiment. And you can figure out what you like and what you don't like. And that's completely normal. And I'm like, well, you had a girlfriend. I was trying to pray the gay away. I didn't know that. But after that, we were really able to grow closer. My mom is the most influential person to me. I watched her go back to school when she was around 50. And she went to UC Berkeley and got her degree. And so that's what encouraged me to come to Sonoma and make such a big splash. And my mom has been able to be a support for me through high school. And even now, as I encounter whatever trials, extra difficult experiences that come with being someone of a multiple marginalized communities.
Go mama.
Yeah.
So Theo, we wanted to ask you any feelings about sharing, and then you could talk about your family too and how they are accepting you or not.
It's definitely scary and I'm not used to it. So when I was coming out as trans in high school and being perceived as trans, I was still surrounded by transphobia, just from what I've gathered from the internet and people's thoughts about trans people just throughout my life. And so my thoughts were like, well, it really seems like I'm trans and there's nothing I can do about. So I'll be the good trans person that is accepted by society and cis people, cis straight people. And I tried so hard to fit myself in the box of a cis straight man and get acceptance from cis straight men that I really didn't focus on myself enough. And that being trans was more about my identity and me becoming myself. I was so scared of society's perception of me and how they would hate me for being trans that I tried to appeal to it instead of ignore it and really find myself. And AJ has helped me realize that a lot because I was not consciously doing that. Coming to college, I feel like I've become way more myself. I found a community of queer people, which I would not have let myself find in high school. There were resources and there were queer people and trans people in high school that I could have talked to and I could have used those resources, but I refused to because I didn't want to be a trans person, essentially. And I think that a lot of queer people, but trans people especially, fall into that trap of trying to be the good trans person and the one who's accepted by society instead of shunned, where I think people should focus more about how being trans is an expression of yourself and a way for you to find yourself, because that's what it is. And once I started having that mentality, and the mentality we just discussed earlier of screw everyone else, this is about you and what you want to do and just be yourself. And AJ really helped me fall into that mindset. I've been so, so much happier and have so much less social anxiety and anxiety about society and people's perception of me now that I have that mindset.
So tell us how your family has embraced you.
It's definitely something we haven't talked about a whole lot until recently. I just recently got top surgery like a few months ago, which has been a huge change for me. Like I've been so much more happier. I've been wearing clothes I've been wanting to wear. I just feel so much more at home and less dysphoric in my own body. And it's been amazing. And my mom has helped me and supported me through that whole process, which I am so, so lucky to have. I feel so lucky to have her as support. And it went great. And we've been talking a lot more because our family in general has never been that emotionally open. We've been a lot more reserved with things in general. But my mom has opened up to me a lot more recently about herself and asked me a lot more questions about myself. So we're very, very open together. And she has completely accepted me in being trans, where she was hesitant before or didn't really know what being trans really was before. She's done research, she's asked me questions, and really, so I'm very, very lucky to have her.
Yeah. So happy that you both have your moms to help you and support you. I hate to leave this interview, but we're going to have to. This is the time where we would like to ask you both for advice. And I know you've shared a lot of advice throughout and support for the community through this interview. But if there's one thing that you both can take a minute to share, just one thing that you want the listeners to know, family members to know, anybody who might listen to this know about you.
Some advice that I really wish that I had listened to in high school when I was still grappling with my gender identity is to be yourself and accept yourself. And it's a message that's been repeated millions of times by millions of people, which is why I never took it seriously or believed it. And to release society's expectations from you and not worry about how you're being perceived.
AJ, you got anything for us?
Being who you are authentically is brave, and that bravery is contagious.
Well, we have one more thing we want to do before we end, and then we are going to have to end. Oh. And it's this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear AJ. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both for being on our show. And it is time for us to say goodbye. And we want everyone to remember, just like Theo and AJ, you too can be living proof that through being visible and vibrant and perseverant and finding your niche, you too can make this world a better world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we will be back next month. Until then,
good night.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised right here in Sonoma County, with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. You're listening to 104.9 KRCB-FM Roanoke Park and KRCG-FM Windsor, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. The Jazz Hot is next.